Yuck, what sort of movies will we be watching today? Is it gonna be Disney movies? What about Pixar films? Nope, we'll be watching bad but good movies. This is Bad Red Movies Podcast. Yuck, gosh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Bad Rad Movies, where we talk about movies that are so bad but entertaining. I figured I'd just go ahead and record it before camera gets on clean feed. That way it'll be a natural conversation and we're not going to have, like, you know, a script or anything like that, which we never did, but I don't know. It's just funny how when people ask about, people ask me about my podcast, I'm just like, you know, Oh, and here he is now. And of course, with me is the incredible, the innumerable, the magnificent.
Yeah.
No, I had started already, Cumberin. But... Oh, okay, you're Cumberin again.
I expected more.
Oh, I bet. So, Cameron, would you like to tell... So would you like to tell the listeners, which I guess they've been waiting a long time for us to do the next episode, what is this podcast about? What are we all about?
Oh, we are Bad Rad Movies, and we basically take bad but maybe good or terrible movies, and we watch them, and then we talk shit. And then Richard boos me.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, but to be fair, we're not sure if these movies, I mean, they're all considered bad movies, but we're not sure if they're like actually one of those. Yeah, if they're like actually bad or not, because there's some that people say that they're terrible movies, but there's been some where they were actually like entertaining. So yeah, but before we get started, Cameron, what has been going on with you? Because yeah, I'm sure people want to know why we haven't recorded a new episode.
So if y'all didn't pay attention to Richard's post or if you're just randomly tuning into this and I'm talking shit about you on accident, my bad. So I moved, yeah, to the East Mojave Desert.
I think you're in the meth capital of the world, right? Have you gotten addicted to meth yet?
What?
I said, have you gotten addicted to meth yet since you're in the meth capital of the world?
Why, do you have any?
No.
Okay. No, I haven't.
Okay. I was afraid you would be start another addiction.
You know, I'm not sure that you can really buy meth if no one even goes outside, because it's 115 right now.
God damn.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, I know that it's since it's considered the high desert, it was going to be super hot up there, but wow.
It's supposed to be 118, so that's cool.
Oh, so instead of 118, it's 115 now.
And we have a flash flood warning.
Oh shit! Yeah. Wow. Well, at least that water that's will okay. cool you off. But now
it's a swamp cooler.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, at least now you won't have to suck dick for weed. You'll just be sucking dick for meth.
Which is. Could someone check me on that and then message Richard?
Oh yeah. So yeah, for those of you that I don't know, don't want to check out the last episode or whatever, the wheel of shit landed on the film Forbidden Zone, which is a Cameron movie. Cameron, and I think you said also Chris picked it too, right, or something, or Chris said for you to gave it to you as the list of like the whatever of our competition is, like you pick seven and I pick seven, right? Cameron got disconnected again. I thought he was gonna have fucking better internet. Like, I don't even know why I'm even like trying to do it. Okay, so whatever, he's I thought he. I'm gonna ask him when he gets back, because to be honest, like, God damn it, Cameron! God damn it, Cameron!
Hello.
Oh, do you still have fucking Frontier?
No.
It
still showed on mine.
What fucking internet do you have now?
I don't know.
You don't even know the internet company.
I wasn't the one that installed it.
Okay. Well, because, yeah, Cameron got disconnected. It reminds me of the last fucking episode.
It didn't completely disconnect me, which is weird.
Oh, okay.
I was disconnected.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Cameron, so besides, oh, Cameron got disconnected again.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know why he keeps doing that.
Yeah.
It's been fine otherwise.
Yeah, your internet sucks.
It might, but we still have the best internet on the block, so...
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I guess it's the best versus everybody else's that has Frontier, I guess.
It's so, fortunately better.
Yeah, slightly, I guess. So, Cameron, So what movie are we doing?
The Forbidden Zone.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So for those of you, I mean, yes, The Forbidden Zone. I never heard of this movie. I like Cameron mentioned someone about it, and he said that, oh, it's a musical. And when I looked it up, I was like, okay. This shouldn't be called Forbidden Zone. This should be called Oingo Boingo the Movie, because that's basically what it is. It's like it,
exactly.
Because for those of you that don't know, well, Cameron would have a better idea. Who is or what is Oingo Boingo?
You might have a better idea than I am.
Okay, so Oingo Boingo is a 1980s like band with. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say. I guess you could say it has like some ska elements to it, but with like 80s vibe. Was started by Danny Elfman back in 1979. And yeah, and they did, I think their most famous song is that Monster Party song. It was like, it's a monster party, or whatever. And so, and then I guess Richard Elfman is his brother, I guess, and he directed this movie. And it was funny because, like, when I first started watching this movie, okay, he also wrote it. And when I first started watching this movie, and it said, oh, like, music accompanied or written by Oingo Boingo, I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit, because Danny Elfman is in the fucking movie, and his brother fucking directed it. I'm like, yeah.
If you have to wait a while,
For Danny Elfman to appear?
Yeah, almost the end.
Doesn't he appear like several times as different characters?
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
I wasn't watching that closely.
Oh yeah. I guess. Do you want to? I'll let you do this again. So, give us some information about Forbidden Zone. what it's about. I don't know. Read the plot or the summary and all that good jive, since it's your movie.
So the ratings are clearly
ratings. We're not doing ratings yet.
This is a comedy musical, and then for some reason it also says mystery and suspense. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a mystery to figure out what it's about at all. Oh, thanks. It's directed by Richard Elfman, as Richard said.
Boring.
It was also written by like five people, including Richard Elfman. It came out in 1980. I actually did that right before this. That's how I knew it was really hot outside. So I walked out, I was like, damn. So, yeah. And it says, noted contemporary composer Danny Elfman and his band Oingo Boingo make their feature film debut in this offbeat musical fantasy that chronicles the adventures of King Fausto, the dwarf king of the bizarre sixth dimension, a land only accessible from the outside through a giant intestine leading from Hercules' mansion. And then,
of course, I suck dick for weed.
The king and his debauched queen spend much time engaged in various forms of intercourse with the weird assortment of creatures, including monsters, bikini-clad babes, robots, and more. Which I think is the best summary I read, honestly. The other ones were, like, way too literal. It's the Oingo Boingo movie. With weird sex scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this came out in 1980, and, yeah, I did not honestly think we were going to do another musical. I thought Cannibal the Musical was going to be the only musical we were going to do, and yeah, I was not expecting this. Okay, so I guess I'll give my opinion after we get done with this film. So Cameron, how did the movie start?
So the movie starts with people in blackface, I think. And then a cartoony intro.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not sure what was going on. People singing.
Well, to be fair, with the whole blackface theme, is it considered racist if a black man puts on blackface?
I'm gonna let the listeners decide on that one.
No, I don't think it is.
It seems
because
like self-decrepitating. What is
self-deprecating?
Self-deprecating. Thank you.
Yeah. And I thought you were supposed to be the smart one.
So close.
No, but I don't think it's like, yeah, blackface did come from like a racist thing. But although technically, if you look at like the like that whole video, which even Dave Chappelle like makes like talks about, like the whole mammy, or that one, it was actually a Jewish guy that put on the blackface. And during those times, black people were not allowed to be on television or movies or on the stage and acting. So the guy that did that whole blackface, the very first one in the beginning, actually paved way for to make it available for black people to be able to be on to be able to perform and become actors and such.
In any way, it's
and but it's okay, because like I said, there are black men that have the black face on. And here's the irony of this movie. Like, if you were to put this out today, then you're gonna have like certain groups of people go like, "Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is why society's all fucked up, you know. And that's why I'd rather have a bacon, lettuce, and mayonnaise sandwich instead of a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, you know." And really, when you look at all the people, especially that classroom scene you and I were talking about. Like, there was all kinds of different people there. There was Asian people, there was Hispanic people, there were obviously white people, and there was like black people, and they were all like playing as stereotypes of themselves, and they were all having a good time, and you could tell that these people were all having a good time. And that's what it should represent, is that all of us just not take life so fucking seriously and just, you know, have fun with life. Let's make fun of each other's fucking cultures. Let's have fun and not be so goddamn serious and say, "Hey man, I want my fucking sandwich so much, I'm gonna break windows and drive a van through a fucking CVS just to get my point across."
Why does everyone in this movie have a gun?
because they can.
Like, why don't we go to that classroom scene? Who is in the classroom again, Richard?
I don't know, but why are you so clicky?
What?
You're like super, you're like super distorty.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, and it sounds really fucking annoying.
Oh. How about now?
That's better.
Oh, okay. So who is in the classroom?
I don't know, all kinds of people. Well, we gotta introduce the family first, because in the beginning of the movie, there's an animated sequence where it talks about a guy named, I don't know, Jerome or something.
Some like crack dealer.
Yeah, he's like a crack dealer, heroin dealer, and because he found the Forbidden Zone.
Is that where I am?
So because he found the Forbidden Zone's whore, he's like, "Oh shit, I can't deal with this anymore." So he ends up selling it to the Hercules family. Their last names are Hercules, and there's the dad, which I forgot what the dad's name is, and then the mom, which she looks like some regular old lady, and then you have the two brothers, you got the grandpa, I guess, even though he doesn't look old at all. He's just got a long beard. Yeah, and looks like a fucking professional wrestler. And then you got the youngest one, even though he looks really old, that has like one of those hats with the little spinny propeller on top of it.
Really reversed, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I forgot what their names were. But then there is the sister, which her name is Frenchie. And why is she called Frenchie, Cameron?
Because she's French.
Ooh, oh my God. The writing in this is stellar. Like, you wouldn't think that it was Richard Elfman or Danny Elfman or whatever had written this movie, this Oingo Boingo movie. That's crazy.
No way.
Yeah, I would have never.
French-speaking girl is French.
Oh, yeah.
Frenchie.
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And then, I guess some. Spin. Yeah, and then somehow, I guess, Frenchie and the rest of the family, they're having dinner, and they don't really get along very well, I guess. And she does a little musical number, I guess, and singing in French. And at some point, she discovers the Forbidden Zone door, and the little animated sequence whenever they go through, like, the pipe, which kind of resembles a fucking human intestine. Like
gray.
Butt gray.
Mm-hmm.
Butt gray. and it's the animation sequence kind of reminded me of like Monty Python, like the Monty Python South Park-esque animation.
So one of my roomies said he walked in.
What did he say?
He's like, "Oh, that looks like some Monty Python kind of thing." I was like, "Yeah, but more sexual. And with a lower budget."
Yes.
This movie had less than $100,000 budget.
So So then we go through that animation process, and then conveniently enough, Frenchie comes through like, I don't know, a butt. A cartoon butt drawn on fucking paper walls, which I noticed that's what seems to be the background in every fucking shot, is like everything's made out of paper. Like,
yeah.
Like, and then, oh yeah, we kind of fucked up because before Paris, or my bad, Frenchie, I keep wanting to call her Paris because I don't know. But before Frenchie goes into the Forbidden Zone, yeah, like we get introduced to several characters that where they go into the classroom. Her brother, which is the old man, they meet this guy. What was his name? Like Stuart or something?
Let me see his name.
Well, anyway, so they meet this guy, and he's like very
in the trash can.
Yeah, he's like very feminine, and they're like, "Oh, what are you gonna do today?" or something. He, for some reason, they decide to have him talk about his dream. Like he dreams of his sister. Which is basically just him in a dress. He's like, and they use the F word a couple of times. Which, what was that word, Cameron?
Family.
Yes, that was the word. and he's like, so then the brother guy is like, he's like, she's not your sister. He's your brother, just in a dress and wearing makeup, because he's a family. And then, the little guy in the trash can is like, "I'm not a family. You're a family." And so, yeah. So then the brother and Frenchie go into the class, and they meet all kinds of crazy characters, like we mentioned earlier. Like it's all mixed up with different groups of people
in the back.
I don't think they were gangsters. I don't think they were gangsters. Like one guy was a pimp, but I don't think they were
pimps. My bad.
Yeah, I think they were pimps.
They were the sex trade business.
Yeah, I don't think because they weren't like Crips or Bloods or anything like that. And you know,
they were gentlemen with guns and hoes.
Yes. So what happens next, Cameron?
So two of the pimps get in an argument, and then one of them shoots the other one in class. And then the dude in the front raises his hand, and the teacher's like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Tommy got shot." And then the guys in the back are like, or he's like, "I had to do it, man. You know, gotta do it. Gotta do it. He was stealing from me, or cheating." And the teacher's like, "Nah, you go to the principal's office, son." And he's like, "Fuck that shit." And he pulls a gun out and shoots the teacher. And then she pulls out a Tommy gun or a submachine gun of some sort and fires back and ducks under the desk. And they have a gunfight and everyone just gets down. And then I think Frenchie or someone jumps out the window and he's like, the dude's like, "Hey, they got Marky Truant." And then, yeah. So it's just chaos. People are just shooting everywhere. And I was like, "Wow, isn't that the American school system in a nutshell?" I sound like that now. I gotta go get tested. Not for STDs.
So Frenchie goes out of the window, and then that's when she goes through the whole process of going through the Forbidden Zone area, and then she goes into another dimension. And that's when we get introduced to the little man king, which I recognize this guy because I don't know, there was like this show, I forgot what it was called, but it had this one guy, and I guess this guy was like a servant or something, or a butler or a sidekick or something. I don't know. He always wore like a white tuxedo or something. Like, I don't know. But anyway, he's the king, and then you have some weird lady as the queen. It's just kind of
like the chick from Mortal Kombat.
Sindel.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Sindel is, look her up.
Google it.
And then I guess somehow, like, because when we, I gotta say that this movie, I feel like it would have been translated better if it was just, if the entire thing was animated, because I feel like the way how they did a lot of like, you know, those old school like cartoons, whether if it's like Betty Boop and things like that, like it kind of reminded me of that, like, except they just said, hey, like, I think this was intentionally supposed to be like a cartoon, but then Oingo Boingo was like, you know what, it's gonna cost too much to be animated, so we'll just make it with real people and shitty sets.
Yeah, and I think the cartoon or animation actually looked pretty good.
I liked a lot of the animated sequences, and I think they should have just stuck to that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happened next, Cameron?
So the king likes Frenchie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe he cheats or attempts to cheat on the queen with her, and then the queen gets really mad. Because she doesn't like that.
Why does she not like it?
Because she wants the little short man king to herself. Because mm-hmm. she's a jealous person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I should really talk that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It goes back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they sing the alphabet. But not really the alphabet.
Yes.
And it gets more and more derogatory as they sing each letter successively.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But no one pulls out a gun this time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, the teacher's definitely a dude, in case anyone potentially watching didn't notice that by now.
What made you think that?
You know, manners.
Well, but how do you know? But how do you know? How did you know that this teacher lady was actually a man?
This actor who plays the teacher lady is a man.
But how do you know, though? You're just gonna look at some. Wait, so. But how do you know, though? Like, this person didn't say, oh, hey, I'm a drag queen. Oh, I'm really a man in a dress. Like, how do you know? What if it was an actual woman, but just happened to have more body hair than anyone else and kind of looked masculine, but wasn't actually a man? It was a woman. How do you know? But how do you know? But how do you know?
You don't.
Well, I could tell you how I know, because you saw a bulge in between the skirt, which was a penis.
For that.
I did. That's how you know.
That's right. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I gotta know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you know.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Gotta know these things.
More like dong-eat-dong world.
So then the grandpa and the kid enter the sixth dimension.
Oh yeah.
To try to save Frenchie, because somehow they know she's down there. Mm-hmm. Somehow.
Yeah.
They don't really say.
Yep.
And then it goes to another scene where Frenchie is tied up in a dungeon, along with a bunch of other people that are, like, chained to the wall and shit.
Yeah, I
and they do a musical number.
Yeah, I like how there's the, it's not only just the king who is a very short man, and then the queen who is very psychotic, and then they have their daughter that only likes to wear underwear. But always likes to show off her tits. Because she's only wearing shoes. She's the princess of the sixth dimension. She has blonde hair and a crown. So the only two pieces of clothing she wears is underwear or panties and a tiara or her princess crown. And that's it. Or I think she had shoes on too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fucking that goes on in this movie.
How'd you feel about that?
I liked it. I put my hands in my pants.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. No, see, I admit when I do things, I don't, like, cover it up and go, oh, I didn't do anything. Yeah, you know, just got to take in that protein.
So I didn't really get that musical number. It was kind of weird.
Which musical number? There was quite a lot.
The dungeon. I don't even remember it.
Oh, is it that one where, like, the queen and everybody else, like, all the prisoners that are chained up, they're, like, saying, oh, electrocutor, electrocutor, and then they had, like, a dildo at the end of a stick that was, like, connected to some electric box or whatever because they were going to electrocute her.
But then it, like, failed.
Yeah, because, like, the fuse went out.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah, the princess titties was going to shove an animated electrified pink dildo up Frenchie. But conveniently enough, it breaks down. So it's too much power.
Hate when that happens.
Yellow power.
Hmm?
Because there was yellow electricity coming out of that pink dildo. Because it was being electrified. So it had a lot of yellow power.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
So then the kid gets trapped in a cage somehow? I don't remember how that happened.
A kid gets trapped in a cage?
No, the dude with the propeller hat.
Oh, yeah, the youngest brother, yeah. Yeah, he... Well, because there was a... When the grandpa and the young boy, old man, go through the... They get out of the septic tank or whatever. Like, there's somehow a gorilla's just sneaking up behind them. Grandpa and gorilla go... They get into a fight. And the young old boy... They jump off of a cliff and somehow lands in that prison cell with the former ex-queen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about location.
Mm-hmm. Because everything's made out of paper.
Literally everything.
Yeah. How much did this movie cost to make?
It says... it just says less than 100 grand. Let me see if I could find a more... Yeah, no. It just says a little squiggly line, 100,000.
You know what? I mean, for a $100,000 movie, I guess I could see that, but I don't know. Really, like, you're going to use paper? Like, paper backgrounds? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like they could have put, like, a green screen... back there or something.
Did they have screens them? Back in the day?
That's what, yeah. I don't know. I don't think they did.
Because this movie came out in 1980, but usually when it's like low-budget films, it's usually like, I don't know how long it usually takes. I think maybe a couple years for it to be debuted in theaters or whatever. So I'm going to say maybe this could have been... They could have been filming during maybe like 78, 79 maybe. I don't know.
I believe you're correct.
I don't know. But then again, I don't know, because Oingo Boingo was formed in 1979. So it's like, when they formed the band, were they like, oh, let's make a make our movie or something, or what? I don't know.
Apparently. I guess they're just fucking around, huh?
I guess. I have no idea.
So, let's do it. Let's debut with a movie.
Yeah. So then, I guess, yeah. The king is in love with Frenchie. We find out that the ex-queen used to be the former wife of the king, the short man king, and basically the now queen had, like, I don't know, put her in prison or something. I don't know. Basically, what's going on with Frenchie and the king and the queen is what happened with the former queen and the now queen and the king. So it's like kind of like a continuous cycle, a loop going on. And then, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, I kind of know what's going to happen at the end, I guess. And I don't know. So young old brother and grandpa, former grandpa wrestler, whatever,
who is like kind of weirdly homicidal,
yeah, and always liked to shove his nightstick up everybody's ass or poke their ass with it. I don't know, like, so while they're trying to rescue Frenchie, that's when we see the guy that was in the trash can, which we find out later, I guess his name is Chicken Boy, because he acts like a chicken. Like, yeah, not like, not no that he's scared, that not that like he's scared, but like he literally does like the motion of a chicken. He finally somehow grows a pair of balls, because I guess apparently he didn't want to go and help rescue Frenchie at first because he was too scared, but now all of a sudden he wants to go. Well, he changes his mind and decides to be brave again for some odd reason, and goes and wants to save Frenchie.
Says whatever his name is going to save the day or something.
Yeah. So then Chicken Boy runs into the princess and falls in love with her because, you know, you could see her titties or whatever. So,
I mean, that's in a trash can.
Yes, that is true.
Stand to go, you know, up in status.
Good for you!
So then, what was it? So Chicken Boy and Princess, they're like, I don't know, somehow, I guess they run into the devil, which is played by Danny Elfman of Oingo Boingo.
Boom.
Yeah, and I don't know, Chicken Boy, like, while after they're done singing their numbers, Chicken Boy's like, please help me rescue Frenchie and everybody else from being prisoners. And he's like, okay, well, if you want my help, then you're going to have to let me cut your head off. And he's like, okay. So he cuts his head off, but because he's Chicken Boy, his head is still alive. So now he's a head, and he grows chicken wings on the side of his head, so he can fly.
Tasty. Yeah.
So after Chicken Boy gets his head cut off, Danny Elfman Satan goes up to Titty Princess and says, "Hey, we're gonna bang you now," and they all start gangbanging her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And then the princess gets set free by the king. Well, technically not by the king, but by the king and the frog assistant. And then because the frog assistant serves both the queen and the king, then, like, after he frees the princess, he goes back to the queen, and the queen is like, why did you free her? I told you to get rid of her. And then he's like, but I was listening to the king. He's like, well, you're going to listen to me. You better go recapture her. And then the frog goes and recaptures the, you know, Frenchie again. And I don't know. I guess she gets captured and put in, she's chained up. Then the short king goes to rescue Frenchie because he's in love with her, and there's
weirdly obsessed with Frenchie.
Yes, I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because she was Richard Elfman's wife. So
really,
yeah, because her name is like Marie Pascal Elfman. So
oh, yeah, that makes sense that he would try to throw her in there too.
Yeah, so. There's like a naked woman chained up. The queen throws her in with a bunch of horny, dirty guys, and they gangbang her. But obviously, they don't show her getting gangbanged. There's just like a large doggy pile of like, I don't know, 20 guys all just doing dry humps, which a lot of people
which
like to dry hump.
The whole movie, yeah,
yeah.
Just walk up right behind people and just dry hump them.
Yeah.
Whole movie.
And then so after this group of dirty horny guys are done, they like toss her and she gets impaled by a spike in a spike pit.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, they don't show her actually getting impaled, they just show her on the ground where there's spikes like it's a pit. And the only way how you know she's dead is because they used black tape and put an X over her eyes with black tape.
Innovative, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the resources.
Yeah.
At least it's not paper.
That's true. So then the queen and then is like about to get Frenchie and throw her into the gangbang pit thing. The ex-queen comes out. Ex-queen and current queen, they get into a cat fight, and then after they get in a cat fight, the current queen somehow gets the upper hand because she gives the former queen a kiss, which implies that they were gonna have like a lesbian relationship, but then somehow it didn't work out.
Not a place in this movie.
No, I wouldn't
at all.
And because they kiss, the current queen decides to take advantage of that situation and throw her off the cliff into that same spiky pit, which this blonde girl that got gangbanged is also in.
Doesn't anyone else get shot?
No. Well, she does, but she doesn't get shot until after she comes back in, which you ruined it and spoiled it. So the mom of Frenchie and whatever, the Hercules mom comes out and she just shoots the current queen in the chest, and she falls down to the ground because she was going to kill Frenchie, but the king somehow convinces her not to kill Frenchie because if the queen kills Frenchie, then the devil and his minions are going to kill the titty princess. So she decides not to kill her, and that's when the Hercules mom, old mom, comes out and gets a gun and shoots the queen in the titty. And
whips out the Glock and just takes her down.
Wasn't a Glock.
Shh.
It was a six shooter.
Takes out the whole six shooter and just guns it down.
Yeah, I know you were. You were trying to make a gangster reference. Yeah, I get it. Good one. So then the little king is just basically going, "Oh no, please don't die, my queen, don't die!" And she's like, "Oh, I'm dying." He's like, "Oh, I'm dying. Oh, just smile for me one last time." He goes, "Okay."
He doesn't even smile, bro.
He does smile.
He like smirks. Like, that's such a half.
He goes, "Okay." She goes, "Thank you."
Dies.
And then she dies. But then after she dies, he's like, "Oh, let me rub your nipples with my hands, like I usually do." And he's like, weird. There's a lot of titty grabbing in this movie too.
Just like low key. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, low key, bro. Low key, man.
Like, on the low.
Low key. Bro. On the low.
Do some titty grabs,
bro. On the low, man.
Like, just please watch for that, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
I miss my key.
So then, what was it? So then the king, after he's crying, he goes and he pushes the queen off the cliff as well and into the little spiky pit as well.
Seriously, just rolls her off.
And then they have one final get together musical thing with everybody involved in the movie where, surprise, Frenchie, because she's also in love with the king, becomes the queen of the new queen of the sixth dimension.
I mean, family.
Wow.
That's good for her. Yay. I can't clap with one hand.
You're not funny and nobody likes you.
Oh.
So then everybody's singing and then, like, I guess they're all talking about that, how she's the new queen. And then, yeah, and that's the end of the fucking movie.
One final, maybe terrible music number.
And then the credits roll.
Yay.
Yay! We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey there. I'm Emily.
I'm Erica.
And we're your new best friends,
whether you like it or not.
Listen to Grow Out of It every Sunday to make fun of us,
as all best friends should,
while we read our old creative writing from our childhoods.
There's a first time for everything, the magnified voice replied. Mm-hmm. My name is Morgus, and I will destroy you.
Classic Morgus.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.
Okay, we're back.
Oh, damn, that was quick.
Yeah, that was very quick. So, Cameron, do you know what time it is?
4:03.
Wait, what did you say?
Bad, bad, or at that time?
That is correct. So, Cameron, how does this work, if you can remember, since it's been a while?
It's been a while. But this works because we have...
Because we have?
From...
Because we have? Because we have?
So, we rate the movies between 0 and 10, and if they're 5 or above, they're rad bad, which means you liked it, you would recommend it. And you thought it was entertaining.
And what does it mean when it's a 4.9?
You liked it, but you're embarrassed that you liked it, and you're probably a piece of shit for liking it. You don't want other people to know.
Finally, you got it right.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess that's it. So, Cameron, what did you like about this movie, and what did you not like about this movie? And finally, what score would you give this movie out of a TN?
I liked the musical number with the devil.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. That was actually kind of catchy.
Yeah.
I liked that they tried to make the most with such a crappy budget. Is this the lowest budgeted film we've done?
No.
Close?
No.
No. Oh, well. I like the cartoon sequences, as brief as they were. I also like that they flipped the characters, like the oldest guy is the youngest guy.
Are you just going to say you like this movie? Like, you really like this movie, and you're going to give this a nice fucking
what
score?
Like
you're going to give this, like, a 6 or 7 or even a fucking 5?
I feel like they could have just made it, like you said, more cartoon, less people. I didn't think the cast was very good at all, except for, of course, Elfman. Is that his name? That's scary. I didn't like most of the musical numbers, and you didn't really know when they were coming. I didn't like most of it. I had no idea what was going on, which I guess is the charm of the movie, but not really. I forgot what I did like was the classroom scene. That was probably the only genuinely entertaining part to me. The rest was not. And I would give it a 4.1.
Oh, 4.1.
Yeah.
Oh.
10 out of 10. Yeah. I don't think it's worthwhile, but it's kind of weird. So if you just like kind of want to fuck with someone, make them watch it. Then don't tell them what it's about.
Okay.
So, Richard Sucka, what do you like about the movie? What do you not like about the movie? And what would you give it out of a 10?
Yeah, what I liked about the movie, I liked the animated sequences. I liked the fact that people were making jokes of different types of, you know, were able to make stereotypical jokes, but they made light of it. Nobody took it seriously because they actually had people like, so when they did use black stereotypical jokes or like Asian or homosexual or whatever the case is, they had actual people that had done it. And everybody, I like the fact that everybody was able to get along and they knew like it's all just for fun. It's all a joke. It's not to be taken seriously and go outside and go, hey, you know what? Let's tag a bunch of buildings and let's break windows, you know, and all that good stuff so that way we can get free shit and whatever. Because sometimes in order to prove a point, you have to cause violence in society and make people lose their fucking jobs or their businesses. You know, it's that's what I liked about the movie. Like, I liked that people were able to get along and not take shit so fucking seriously. And, you know, and not, and this was back in the 80s, you know, or actually technically 1980, late 70s, very 80. And they're not all like, oh, you know what? Oh my God, this is the 1960s again or something like that. But I like that. I like that people were getting along and that they were able to not take shit seriously and were able to poke fun, not just at each other, but at themselves as well.
We're all getting along. Yay.
And I do like, well, not nowadays, but what I also liked the fact that they were using some elements of, like, you know, whether if it's like Looney Tunes cartoon-esque sort of thing or like Betty, like the Betty Boop kind of cartoons. I liked how they were trying to go for that, but I don't, in the beginning, I was kind of turned off by it because, like, I could see what they were doing, but it just didn't it didn't translate well. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going for that cartoon thing, but it didn't translate well at all. I think I would have really liked the movie a lot more if it was actually animated the entire time.
It would be a great animated musical to fuck with people.
Yeah, it'd be like another thing where it'd be like, you know, like, so, oh, did you like movies like Fritz the Cat or American Pop or something like that? This would be another one of those, but I don't know. I don't really count it as that because they only had some animated sequences, but I wouldn't call it animated, or maybe technically it is. I don't know, but still,
it was pretty cool too. Like, a lot was going on in those animated sequences.
Yeah, I feel like they should have just made it animated because the entire, and that's another thing what I didn't like about, like, the movie was the backdrops and the backgrounds. Like, it was weird because, like, the background stuff, whether if it was the house or like the dimension, it was all fucking paper and drawn, like with crayon or something. I don't know. It could have been something else, but it was all drawn. So it's like, and then what's weird was that there's that one sequence where the dad was going to work at a tar pit company or something like that.
Oh, we forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
what happened in that one?
Well, so basically the dad, I mean, we didn't really mention it because it was a very, very short sequence. So basically the dad, the Hercules dad, the main dad, goes to work at a tar pit factory. And what's weird is that the building and some of the things that are going on, it's all animated anyway. It's all hand-drawn animated. So it's like, you had time to have a hand-drawn animated sequence in that part, that entire scene, but you couldn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. Yeah. Like
that scene kind of reminded me of Zoolander, like the scene where they blow up the gas station because all the guys are smoking and it says no smoking, like extreme danger, and they explode the entire plant.
Except this came out before Zoolander.
Exactly. So maybe, I wonder if that's where they ripped it off from.
So that's what I kind of didn't like about the movie. I didn't like that whole, I don't know. I felt like they could have just either made it animated or not. But I don't know. I guess that some people would have, that's what makes it charming in a weird way, I guess. I don't know.
Apparently it's a cult classic.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know.
I don't know what that means. Like,
when they, you don't know what it means when they say cult classic?
It's kind of vague.
Well, yeah, I guess, okay.
It's like a weird underground following, but like what?
Well, it's kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show is a cult classic or considered a cult classic.
I love that movie.
Yeah, so there you go. That's for some people, this movie is like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Probably more offensive, though.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. As far as what I would give this out of a 10, I don't know. I'll probably give it a 4.7. I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie, but I don't know. It was kind of a roller coaster for me. Like in the beginning, I hated the movie in the beginning because they were doing a lot of really intentional, trying to be funny and stupid kind of things. But then it kind of got better in the classroom scene, so it kind of was going up and down for me. But no, never mind. I'm gonna give this like a straight 4. I'm gonna give this a 4. It's not a terrible movie, but I don't know. I've seen better movies. For this being considered, quotation mark fingers, a cult classic, I don't know if I would give this a really super high score.
I don't know that I ever could either.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's go and take a look at the actual score. So on IMDb, this got a 6.7 out of 10, and on Rotten Tomatoes, this has a 90% Red Tomato meter. And 81% of the audience liked it. And then even on Letterboxd, this has a 3.4 out of 5.
So heavy disagreement from both of us.
yeah, I would not consider this a so bad that it's good kind of movie.
I think people are just like, well, they have paper in the back and they still made a movie. Good for them.
I think because this is technically, because it's a Danny Elfman, like, it has Danny Elfman in it, and it has Oingo Boingo, and, you know, I think it's mainly a lot of Oingo Boingo fans or Danny Elfman fans, because I know people that happen to be Danny Elfman fans. They go to Danny Elfman concerts, which he does have. He is a good musical composer, and he does write good music, but I'm not, like, you know, I'm not going to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go to his concerts, which, I mean, I don't even think we could anyway because of COVID, but...
Bummer.
But I don't know. I'm pretty sure that if I show my Danny Elfman friends this movie, they would instantly like it only because it's, you know, Oingo Boingo slash Danny Elfman. That's the only reason why.
Then let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I'll let you know. So yeah, I guess by this count, that means that since we both did not quite like this movie, I get the point for this one.
Wow.
Yeah. And I feel bad because, I have 4 points now and you have 0 still.
I thought I had one.
Did you? Which one did you win?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back.
Oh, was it for... What movie?
It was like the third one or something. Because I thought it was like 2-1. And then now you got two in a row.
Oh, wait. You know what? Hold on. I think you do have one. My bad. Because I wrote it on the thing, but I guess I didn't see that little line for the point.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I see it. All right.
The comeback starts here.
Yeah. So I got 4 points and you got 1 point. All right. Well, do you know what time it is now, Cameron?
Is it Bad Rad Wheel of Shit time?
Cameron! Stupid Pose!
Oh, that sounds just like me. Wow.
Did you put more work on that?
I did.
Very good.
So, since it's been a while, Cameron, do you have any posts you would like to read from your Twitter page or your Instagram page or whatever you posted?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Choose a wholesome tweet here.
Okay.
Since I've been choosing some really dumb ones.
Okay.
So this is from 5 days ago when I went into Barstow to do errands. And I sat in the drive-thru earlier, and as I was waiting for my food, a little kid ran up to the window from inside and enthusiastically yelled, "Hi!" and waved at me until one of the workers inside, who I'm pretty sure was his mom, but I'm not certain, shooed him away, and that kind of made my day. It was really nice. The kid was, like, really cute. He was like, "Hey!
Ew!
What's up, man?"
Ew! Yuck! You're fucking gross! So anyway, I do have a tweet from that you posted as well that I picked, which according to here is from 17 hours ago. Hold on, I gotta get into the Cameron.
Let's go viral.
All right. Whenever I accidentally microwave my dick too hot, I just stand under the swamp cooler vent until it cools my food down enough so I can eat it and put that big juicy cock in my mouth. Signed, Cameron. I'm just kidding. No, actually what it says is whenever I accidentally microwave my food too hot, I just stand under the swamp cooler vent until it cools my food down enough so I can eat it.
Yeah, because the vent is right outside my door and right next to the microwave. So my burrito was super hot yesterday. I couldn't hold on to the plate. So I like walked over and just stood in the hallway and lifted it up for like 10 seconds. And then I could eat my burrito. Problem solved.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what time it is now, Cameron?
Is it Bad Ride with it? Shit time, please. That would still get something.
Yes, you are correct.
Oh, thank God.
So how does this work, Cameron?
So we have movies on the wheel that we wrote, and then we spin it, and whichever one it lands on, we choose.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and spin
seven.
The wheel.
Yeah, seven.
Oh, wait. Actually, before I spin it, I'm going to read what's all left on the wheel. Do you want me to start with what you have on your movies, or do you want me to start with my movies first?
You can start with yours.
Okay. So, there's actually three left of my movies, which is Warriors of the Wasteland, Terminal Force, and Dance Fu.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. And then what's left of Cameron's movies is Chud, A Conspiracy of Lies, Brain Damage,
also that one.
TNT Jackson, and Incredibly Strange Creatures That Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. Oh, I forgot one more movie that I had. For some reason, I didn't see it. It's Firecracker.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Now I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel. And here we go.
It's going.
All right. So, it actually landed on a choose option. So, Cameron, since I'm going to let you choose. So, you have the choice of either picking TNT Jackson or Warriors of the Wasteland. And I think I know which one you're going to choose.
Which one do you think I'm going to choose?
A movie similar to Black Shampoo.
Yeah.
How did I know that you were going to pick TNT Jackson? So, yeah, that's going to be the next movie, is TNT Jackson. I want to thank Cameron for coming on, and it's been a long minute, and we'll figure out the next day of when we're going to do the next episode. And hopefully Cameron will get better internet, because unlike the last episode, I wasn't announcing it that he got disconnected, but he kept getting fucking disconnected again. So you need better internet.
Longer intervals, thankfully.
Yeah, you need better internet. I don't know what internet you have.
Because everyone is on internet right now playing PS4 and it's taking all our bandwidth.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So as usual, how do we close this, Cameron?
Have a good one.
Have a good bit.
And way to end strong.
Strong.
Lucky, lucky, lucky. The boss really noticed you.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But how can he bear the touch of that loathsome queen? She's nothing but an old fat whore.
Yeah.
The queen is a very important person. She hurts me a lot, but I respect her.
When I turned 12, Papa said, little woman, better get yourself a wife. 'Cause you're too mean for a man, so clean up your life. And if she's the devil, you know she'll be your friend. When I turned 13, I spat in my papa's eye. Took off to find my man, 'cause I couldn't find a wife. I spread eagle in a lot of towns. I couldn't find no man.